Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. CY coming up. Chris Young at 4:20 today. And I want to talk right here about the Cowboys. I wonder what they would look like if they had not traded Micah. I put that on Twitter last night. The reaction has been, you know, quite interesting. I think they would still be horrible. Maybe they could have found a way to get to Caleb Williams yesterday. I don't know, and hold him under 20 points, give you a chance. But I think that's a stretch. We saw Micah have several games last year with the Cowboys where they were getting drove on because you just can't make up as one guy for poor plays all over the field. So I guess I feel like the way these three games have gone is more proof that the Cowboys did the right thing trading Micah Parsons because they didn't have enough players on defense to help him. That's where I'm at with it. Maybe you think Micah would have fixed all this. Like if you get good coverage, Reddy Stewart and Kaiir Elam are going to be able to, you know, do good stuff if they're able to get pressure on the quarterback. But where do you guys see this?
This is my worry, or this was my worry, that if you had an offense that was good enough and they were scoring points and take teams out of running the ball, that it was going to come down to having to finish games, you know, making sure you had pass rush. I feel like he would have been a factor in the Giants game, and I feel like he would have been a factor in the Chicago game. They did not put enough pressure on these tackles. In the last couple of weeks, the offensive tackles, and I felt like that the Giants' offensive line was worse than what the Bears' offensive line was. But you having somebody that can maybe create other opportunities for guys, we always talk about Micah kind of maybe making others around him a little bit better. Maybe that would have helped Oso Digizua. Maybe it would have helped, you know, whoever's rushing off the other side. But, man, they are. You know what they're doing right now? Just watching the tape. They're doubling your tackles, and they're single-blocking your edges.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not even worried.
The tackles are good.
They're more worried about Kenny Clark and Osa and
Solomon Thomas
than they are your tackles. I mean, I can't tell. I mean, I know that there's some teams in the league that have got some damn good defensive tackles, and that guy at the Giants sees a double team every time he steps up there. But to me, he makes a difference against those teams that have those bad offensive tackles. And that's the way it would have been the last couple of weeks.
And watching Detroit and at least one play against the Cowboys, Darnell Wright, their right tackle, is brutal. Yeah. He can't handle power. He can't handle speed. He can't handle a move. And, you know, he was matched up with guys throughout the day that managed to get no pass rush winning.
Jones, the left tackle,
was even worse going into the game.
Was even worse. I mean, he allowed like 12 pressures, 2 sacks.
Yeah, didn't allow a single pressure.
And even despite that, they're leaving those guys on an island with your edges.
Yeah.
Because they have no faith.
They said, you're not good enough, and they just doubled your defensive tackles, and they left your guys single on the outside.
So everything could have looked different with Mike out there.
I think to me that, you know, it is what it is. I just really believed in my heart that Dallas's offense is always has a chance to score points, which takes teams out of their ability to run the football. The Bears did it to you yesterday. You got a guy rushing for 7, almost 8 yards a carry, and it didn't even matter.
So with Micah, maybe you can hold down some of the worst offenses in the NFL. But without Micah, now even they will feast.
The metrics will tell you that drives that have a sack in them or a negative play with a penalty usually end in a punt.
It's incredible because they have not looked this bad since the year that you drafted Micah.
Yeah.
You have not looked this bad since last year when Micah was out.
Right. And he played in the games that they got blown out. So, I think we've seen this defense look bad with him on the field. I think you're right against offenses that are poor. Absolutely. Caleb Williams, I don't think, goes without a sack yesterday for the first time in his career if Micah's on the field. But we've seen this team have really good offenses in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And then when they go up against good teams, it does show up. You can't stop the run.
I thought you made an interesting point on the post-game show, and you were adamant about this. You weren't interested in spending $47 million for a player like this, were you?
No, I don't think any non-quarterback is worth that amount of money when it comes to roster building in today's NFL. I don't think you can pay a player like that, especially when we've seen this team be good.
So no matter
ultimately
what,
they failed.
Yeah, they did the right thing in your eyes.
I think
they
did the right thing, 100%.
I mean, clearly it can be part of a winning formula in Cleveland at $31 million for Myles Garrett, $32 million. But I mean, 45, 47 is such a bigger deal. I don't know. I guess I feel like they could win games against poor opponents, but you put Micah Parsons back on this team, it's not making them a playoff team, is it, Chief?
No, it's not going to make them a playoff team. Your run defense is going to end up being worse because you don't have Kenny Clark. So you're going to get run on a fair amount more. And your back end is so bad that big plays are still going to happen.
Yeah.
So it helps your pass rush. It probably limits a couple of the big plays that you've seen over the course of the last 2 weeks. But by and large, this defense is a disaster class, and not one player in the NFL is fixing it.
The 214 asking, do you guys still love Ezra Raku, the second round pick? There's potential there. It's just going to be a journey.
There's some absolute flashes of him.
There are.
The thing that bothers me the most, here we are at 340 already, but the thing that bothers me the most is you've got guys like Sam Williams playing like a 5-technique 3-4 defensive end. That's how he's rushing the passer. It's almost like he's playing 2-gap. It's almost like he's going into the guy and they're not playing with any type of upfield.
There's no angles.
There's no, it's engage. And it's kind of get rid of the blocker and then rush the passer.
That's so weird.
It's so bizarre.
It is bizarre to watch. But yeah, I think the thing with Donovan, there were a couple of times where he actually showed getting off the football, trying to duck underneath the blocker, and then get to the ball. But by that time, the ball's out. He flashes the plays, and you're just like, you wish you would see more of that.
Aaron Whitecotton's been great for Solomon Thomas. I think you can say it's been, even Steven with Osa, he's about the player that he was, and Kenny Clark has been outstanding, but they aren't getting any reason from their edges to believe that they're heading in the right direction. It's bizarre that you mentioned that, Broadus, because I couldn't, evaluate it in that detail. It just looks like they're engaging and they got nothing. They got no moves. Yeah. They got no speed. They got no chop. They got no spin move. They got absolutely nothing. We'll have some more Cowboys questions for you here in a couple of minutes. The Rangers losing streak hit 7 games in a row. That's unbelievable. They might not even finish above 500 now after the 6-game winner and being one of the hottest teams in baseball. They have fallen back to 79-77 now. They'll host the Twins tomorrow, then visit the Guardians. And the most interesting thing right now is they could lose so hard to Cleveland that it could keep Houston out of the playoffs, as the Astros went right back to losing as soon as they were done ending the Rangers season. So that could keep Houston out of the playoffs, and that's something to hope for. I don't want to be Cleveland if it means Houston going to the playoffs. Would they engage in something like that? Execute like you got young guys who are trying to prove something. People are trying to get a last bomb pop or something.
I get it as a fan. Like, that'd be kind of fun to keep the Houston Astros out, but I don't think the Rangers would be thinking that way whatsoever. They're going to go out there and try to win games.
And as torturous as this season has been, I would imagine they'll sweep Cleveland and put Houston in the playoffs. Yep. That would just be par for the course. Stars preseason continues tomorrow night. The Minnesota Wild going to be at the AAC. They got the 2-1 win in a shootout Saturday against St. Louis. Maverick Bork got the lone goal in regulation. And Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy says he has no interest in this being his final season in charge at Oklahoma State. He told reporters 100%. He addressed what he called fair questions over his future with the Cowboys 3 days after State fell to 1-2 with a 19-12 defeat to Tulsa on Friday night, marked the program's first home loss to the Golden Hurricane since 1951. They've dropped 11 of their last 12. It's time to move on from Gundy, isn't it?
Yeah, like he can say this isn't going to be his last year. I think that might be taken out of his hands.
Yeah,
the way that this thing's going.
Yeah, it means I'm not quitting. Are you kidding me? I'm going to get everything guaranteed.
They'll get a nice buyout.
Massive day in the NFL, though, yesterday, and it'll continue tonight with a heck of a Monday nighter. What do we got? Detroit and Baltimore. That'll be a lot of fun.
Soak it in, because this time next week, we'll be getting ready for the 0-3 Jets taking on the 0-3 Dolphins.
Ooh, brutal.
You're like, can they hard find pass. A way to flex?
Goodness gracious.
Browns beat the Packers. Does this give you hope that maybe Green Bay isn't that good, or the injuries to Kraft and Reed are going to slow them down in a way that maybe you could get them?
You know, I think the Browns defense is to be respected.
Yeah.
Best in the league playing against the run.
Yeah, I mean, they are the real deal.
And the Packers are fourth best playing against the run.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. You have the ebbs and flows. I still think the Packers are going to be a really, really good team. But, yeah, Cleveland's defense is not to be fooled with.
Green Bay's offensive line dinged up as well.
Yeah, they've been without two starters. I just don't think it matters. They can put whoever they want in those green unis. They show up at AT&T Stadium. They're going to play their best game.
Oh, for Sunday, yeah. The Packers are going to look like an absolute juggernaut.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that somehow they can get some negative momentum going. They look like the best team in the NFL the first 2 weeks. Yesterday, it looked like that offense that has struggled a lot. They've struggled a lot in Jordan Love's tenure. Mm-hmm. You take away his two best receiving options, Kraft and Reed. You take away offensive line guys. The defense is going to be outstanding. That's championship caliber. But it really felt like 23-24, the struggles of the Packers coming back to roost. We'll have to see if, you know, I mean, the Cowboys are going to make you right, but what happens after the Cowboys game could be interesting with Green Bay. I'm just hoping for not number one seed, you know, losing early in the playoffs, keep that pick somewhat pretty manageable. How real are the Colts in the Daniel Jones era? They whooped Tennessee 41-20. You have to think that Jones found an offensive coach in Shane Steichen. He's not making mistakes, but it's really Jonathan Taylor is just absolutely on fire. Indy has 103 points through the first three games of 2025, tying any total Peyton Manning ever had as starter of the Colts. At this point, that's a significant sample size, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
They're legit. Yeah. They're a playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in that division, for sure, with the way the Texans are playing.
Yeah, 2-0-3 teams with the Texans and Titans. You're basically just going to be in a race with Jacksonville. It's 2-1.
The Commanders got a great game from Marcus Mariota, walloped the Raiders, and their head coach. You see that? DQ going down.
Oh, my gosh. He took a real big hit.
He took a huge hit. I mean, I look up at the screen. I didn't see it in real time, but I just see them showing him he's got blood dripping from his face.
Well, and the whiplash. I worried about it.
I know. His head hit pretty hard. The back of his head hit pretty hard on that field. Yeah.
I mean, for an old guy, he's got to be tough, and the core strength to prevent your head from totally slapping down. I didn't think Dan Quinn was in that good a shape, but he stood there and told multiple officials, "I'm fine."
Yeah,
and I didn't believe him for a while, but apparently he's okay.
Yeah, that was super impressive. That's the biggest one. We've seen some coaches get trucked this year, and but that was the worst one.
We were just talking about how coaches will like stand there and try to do the tough guy like they're playing chicken, and that wasn't it. I mean, it was the last possible second Mariota, you know, had to move, and the next thing you know, he's on Quinn and sends him back. Is it a mistake to use CeeDee Lamb as a running back when your actual running back is doing so well?
That was my situation. I thought, yes, it was. When Javonte Williams is going out there running for 7-8 yards a pop, I just didn't think it was necessary at that point in the game to put CeeDee Lamb in the backfield. And even when it was happening and I was thinking that, I was like, am I being too hyperbolic? Like, they've run CeeDee Lamb before and it's resulted in some good plays.
But is this the punt return question?
It just doesn't seem like that. Well, that's that special teams. Different. And honestly, I'd love CeeDee Lamb back there instead of Miles Sanders. I don't know what the hell Miles Sanders is doing back there returning any kicks. The guy can't really move forward.
Zach Bond is chasing him down in week one.
But, yeah, I don't think in that situation, I'm not saying ever, But you didn't really need to get cute with who was running the ball. Javonte Williams was doing a fine job.
Yeah, I just feel like CeeDee Lamb has been so dang good at those runs out of the backfield that that's not something I would want to discourage. But as effective as Debo been, it hasn't kept him healthy. You know, there is a price to pay. I just think that everything went wrong on that play, and all of a sudden the edge is kaput, and you got multiple dudes and the one guy dragging him down, and then he kind of tripped on his own feet, which put the foot kind of out of position. But
yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean,
really lucky
at any point, but I didn't love the play call there.
I thought it was a hip tackle myself.
Yeah,
I thought it was a hip drop tackle. I thought that's what it was. I mean, you watch the tape; that guy launches his body into the back of his legs. Yeah. They got to call that stuff, man. They forgot about that one. They forgot. And I swear when you watch it, and I can pull it up during the break and show you, that thing was, that guy is, he's coming around and he throws his body into the back of CD's legs. And he catches him. He catches that ankle. That's a dangerous play right there.
Do you think if the Cowboys had to do it over again, they would have just played Jadeveon Clowney? Take whatever you can get out of them. I mean, their ultimate explanation was, well, you know, if somebody got hurt and he had to play 60 snaps, we didn't think he was in good enough shape to do that. Well, three of the dudes, hindsight 2020, three of the dudes got zero pressures, zero pass rush wins. I would say desperately right now, you need Jadeveon Clowney and Deron Bland to come back and give your secondary and your pass rush some sense of professional credibility. Right now, they look like undrafted jobbers. Okay, we got more Cowboys coming up. The C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening and what the latest word is on CeeDee Lamb's injury. Then Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here on The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. It's time for the C-Note here, Cowboys news of the evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Nick Harris posted a mock draft. He went there. When's your first one coming, Brian?
I did one last night.
There we go.
Did you do it on two rounds.
Just in the middle of the pre.
Just on the simulator, show. Just for funsies.
Where'd you have the Cowboys pick? In eighth?
They're picking 10th.
10th? Nice.
Oh, the 10th pick?
Right now, they've got the 10th pick.
There's a lot of one and two teams.
Yeah, we got a bunch.
So who'd you take with the first pick, Wolchuk?
Anthony Hill Jr., the linebacker out of Texas.
Okay, because flipping, I guess Harris had him going at 27 with the Packers pick.
So that'd be awesome.
That would be amazing if you could get him at 27. He went with Francis Maui-Goa.
Miami tackle. Offensive lineman. Yeah, he's an animal.
Man, he's going for a lineman, huh?
Yeah, I think between the two spots, you could take the guy, plug him in at right tackle, and see where Guyton goes at left tackle. Then Anthony Hill, then Dylan Thieneman there at 45 in round two, the safety from Oregon. Then you go to Ole Miss for an edge, Sun Tareen Perkins at Ole Miss, Notre Dame's Drake Bowen, linebacker. Then Quentin Joyner, the Tech halfback there at pick 177. Is that the sixth rounder? And then Jair Hill, the corner from Michigan. We're doing it already, Brian. You ready to mock him up?
I'll tell you what, Dawson, you tell me you're ready to start talking draft, and I'll start looking at the players.
I got your guy, Harold Perkins from LSU, in the second round.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good pick. Like what you're doing. Should be a pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes this season more fun to talk about draft and what's possible.
Especially with two picks.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot of fun.
So with like October 1st rolls around and we're starting talking about the draft?
Yeah, I mean, not.
I'm going to start looking at players November 1. I've moved that up by 4 weeks.
I'm going to go a month earlier than you.
Are you going to go October?
Yeah. I kind of need the cushion, though, with the second kid coming. I'm a little scared.
I'm just hoping that, yeah, that's going to be tough.
Oh, we're already starting to get film.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Like, staying up late. I guess with the kid, there will be benefits to it if you have the film on standby. But battling through a newborn in a draft cycle.
I might need to start a little early.
RIP to your sleep.
Yep.
Yeah, you might want to ask Bobby about that Adderall script rattling around in his pocket. See him going through the halls.
If anybody knows, let me know.
I don't look at the text. I'd like to see if people text in. How early would you think we should start draft? I'm just curious. Give me a date. Could the people in the text chime in on that for me?
Is it too early?
Is it too early to start talking about the draft? It's got to be, right?
I think in general, is going to be your biggest position of interest? Like, drilling down on the scouting reports, there's so much college football to be played.
We're in week 4 already, right?
But I think just generally,
week 5
like,
in college football,
the positions of need, he goes linebacker, you go linebacker, he goes tackle. I think it's got to be edge, tackle,
edge,
corner,
safety,
and maybe wide receiver. Like, I don't know how to feel about George Pickens right now. That's 2 out of 3 games where he's done something to make it harder to win.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling with George, you know, what is the market when he ends up hitting free agency? Like, I'd be interested in bringing him back, depending on the price, but if somebody else wants to go give him $25+ million a year, good for you. Like, go get your bag. But right now, I mean, this is going to be a telling couple of weeks for George Pickens. Can he end up stepping in and really carrying this offense without CeeDee Lamb?
Start the draft when Jerry said all in, says the 817. Do you think Trayvon Diggs made a business decision there in the fourth quarter? He did tackle well. He got maybe a knee dropped onto his shoulder or his side. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I on the tape when I stopped it, I thought he got hit in the side. I thought he had a rib problem. I thought he got hit in the ribs, but they put a harness on his shoulder, from what I understand.
Okay, so he did have a medical device put on there.
Yeah, from what I understand, yeah.
I wonder if other corners would have come off the field getting kind of... I mean, he was tackling well, and I'm not saying he made a business decision on that play. I'm saying he made a business decision that I'm done playing.
I'm done after this, yeah.
We go to DLLS Cowboys, Clarence Hill. Cowboys are expected to be without CeeDee Lamb for 3 to 4 weeks due to the high ankle sprain he suffered Sunday against the Bears. That's his report this afternoon. Schefter said at least 2 weeks. I don't even know how you look at it if you're the Cowboys. I would leave it up to him. He said last night it's kind of a protecting him from himself type of deal.
Yeah.
Once you're out there and you can cut, the offense is totally different. We've seen Terrell Owens play with that ankle injury that he had in the Super Bowl. We saw Isaiah Thomas put in 16 points in a minute and a half for the Detroit Pistons back in the late 80s on a sprained ankle. And, I think if you're going to start making a case that you could be a playoff team, it's got to be with wins against the Jets and Panthers. If you want to sit CeeDee against Green Bay, I get it. You probably won't beat them with or without them, but against the Jets and Panthers, you'd have a chance to fight your way back to .500. Nick Harris says it's time for George Pickens to firmly establish his value in the coming weeks. This is it right here. If you want to be wide receiver one, if you want to give your agent all the ammunition in the world to go chase a $35 million contract, we got to see it. Does he have it in him?
Right. Yeah, I remember I asked you guys the question the next 3 weeks, right? Then I remember we had the questions, and I said that George Pickens would be your best receiver the next 3 weeks. I guess we're about to find out with those CD.
He better be.
Yeah. I tell you what, I give Turpin, I give Tolbert credit too. Those guys ran hard. Flannoy. When Lamb went out, man, those guys were running some routes, trying to get open. I give him some credit.
He did say last night his ankle is all right. Said he is absolutely feels like he can play next week.
He's in a boot and he's got
scooter.
A scooter.
Yeah, I'm sure he woke up feeling a little different than
I had somebody text me when he was listening to our show and says, I opened the door for him and helped him get in his car.
Oh, goodness. Oh, what a gentleman.
Yeah.
I mean, but he could jog. He could walk.
I hope you're
right. He could walk fine. He walked fine off the field.
There's people in the organization think it's going to be a few games.
And I understand that, you know, but I
hope you're right.
There's a big difference in the kind of different high ankle sprains you can get.
He's as tough as they come. That guy played with a bad shoulder basically the whole season. I mean, tough guy.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation C-Note here on 105.3 The Fan. How did Jerry Jones fix his lips to say, I'll tell you, yes, it's because you saw number four out there today and you saw what we're capable of doing in the run game. He was asked, are you still a playoff team? As we evolve towards the playoffs, we have to get better defensively, certainly. He's just selling, trying to keep any fan interested that's not really paying attention. Like, how do you even try to logically explain those as a football person?
You can't. You just simply can't. He is he's the ultimate salesman. He chooses really only to look at the positive, and they think he has that type of mindset that he's built an awesome roster, and these guys will figure it out. And he couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah. You know, I think if you're saying stuff like that with this kind of football team, there's no way that you actually believe it. But we asked Stephen Jones on Friday, do you feel like you guys are close? And when he said it Friday, I thought, yeah,
they
maybe
have
you
to
are.
Say that, right?
Maybe you yeah. are a couple
Can't
of players
say
away.
That. Can't say that until you know, you go out and you find a way to you lose the Green Bay and then lose the Jets, Carolina. Then, you know, maybe you'll get some honesty there. But they have to say that right now.
Well, I mean, right now you could say, hey, I'm not really thinking about the playoffs because we have so many problems that we're trying to figure out. Yeah. So I'm not even thinking about the playoffs right now. It's week three.
They're the first team to never sack Caleb Williams in a game.
That's true.
He had at least, what, a half dozen or so plays where it got into a crazy scramble mode and Caleb Williams is doing his I'm not sure what to do thing.
I was worried about him running a couple of times there.
And he's a good runner. He is a good runner, but
when you got guys like consistently getting 5 yards of separation, you don't really have to worry about risking it to run.
I think they had 7 yards of cushion, five yards of separation. Yeah.
Do you guys want them to use the draft picks to try to make themselves better?
No.
Not the ones. Not the ones. I'd be interested in
this mock draft sounded pretty good. We just had.
I'm holding on to those ones. I don't think you're a player away. Now, I mean, and I also don't think there's a player that's going to be available that's worth these ones. Like, I don't think this is one of those deadlines where you're going to have a Roquan Smith emerge, a player of that caliber, even Trey Hendrickson. To me, he's not worth one of the ones. If they want to take a two for him, I'm down for it. It's a rental piece. So I'd be in on that for a two, but I'm not giving up the ones.
You know, I was thinking when you're close, you trade your picks for players. And I guess if you had won this game convincingly, if you'd been the team with 31-17, I would say yes. You know, you're getting enough signs. You don't know how long Dak Prescott's going to be playing in an elite level. Go ahead and make the trade. But, you know, after seeing how bad that was yesterday and now the injury to CeeDee Lamb, I think you've probably seen your last day at or above 500. Like the Jets and Panthers games, I feel like one of those teams is going to get you. Carolina's defense is better. They're making progress offensively. The Jets have a physical run game that's really going to test what you think you know. And Justin Fields is making plays in the pass game when he's protected and after they have made you commit to man defense and stack in the box against that running game. Then he, you know, the numbers on the back end are very much in his favor. But how many teams left on this schedule do you think that the Cowboys are actually better than at this point? Like, I think this defense is generationally bad. That's why I picked Chicago on Friday afternoon. I thought they would be the more desperate team at home. The Cowboys coming off an emotional overtime victory. I thought it'd be a lot closer than it was. But if you're picking the Bears and Caleb Williams to beat this defense and look good, no sacks, no turnovers. That is a rare occurrence in today's NFL.
For him, it is.
Yeah, it's never happened for him.
He tried to throw you a couple though. They got a ball that got tipped, and Hooker had his hands on one. They tried, but
Murray.
Hey, that's
Murray should have picked that
Kenneth
one.
Yeah, Murray.
Yeah, but they
got gun shy.
They had a couple but Hooker had one that he overthrew in the middle of the field. He tried to extend and couldn't get.
There's no team on the schedule that they're clearly better than, unless you want to say the Giants still. But we just saw how they took you to the end of the ropes there.
Like, I'd like to think maybe the Jets, Panthers, and Raiders, but I don't know that it's
might
clear
be better
right
Raiders,
now.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're better than the Raiders. Hopefully they're better than the Panthers. But this could be an 11 win or 11 loss season, a 12 loss season. I can't wait to see what happens against the Giants at the end of the season. I mean, some of these games could be absolute low points for the season. And before too long, we got to get back into is it the players, is it the scheme? And on that note, Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus coming up next. Buddy, where are you taking
us? Yeah, we've gone round and round. Let's keep going round and round about this game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That next.
Thank you, Lucius. Let's get some answers on what all went wrong for the Cowboys in yesterday's 31-17 embarrassing defeat at Soldier Field.
Brian
Broaddus and Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very, very much. Thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. Hey, Dawson, I know we were talking about Kenny Clark, right? Kenny Clark, run defender, Kenny Clark guy, team. I just looked up something real quick. I just wanted to point this out. When Clark has been off the field, there have been 40 rushes for 169 yards, three touchdowns, average about 4.2 yards a play. The offense has had four explosive plays. That's 10 yards more a rush, right? And they've had Dallas has had eight run stuffs when he's off the field. When he's on the field, they've had 48 attempts against him for a 169, so about 9 yards difference. One touchdown, 3.3 yards per carry, so it's 4.2 with him off, 3.3 with him on. They've given up five explosive plays with him being on, but they've got 14 run stuffs with him on the field.
Well, he's their best overall defensive player. He's also leading the team in pressures.
Yeah.
And the guy's been pretty damn good.
So you're also in a situation where do people run the ball on Dallas? They run the ball 52% of the time. They run it outside, and then the 42% inside is where people run it. I've been running it at least this year. 48% to the strong side, 34% to the weak side. So that's kind of a little bit of a metric.
Hasn't been bad with him off the field either. I think 4.2 is right around league average right now.
Yeah, they're right around that. I thought was interesting was the explosives. There's like, you know, with him off the field, they've actually have more explosives 10-yard runs with him on the field than off the field. Just one. It's not a huge number. It's not like, but the run stuffs are impressive. You know, 14 run stuffs to 8 run stuffs, depending off and on the field. Stuff.
Can't imagine a life without him at this point. No. He wouldn't have any strength to you.
Okay, no. Brian, before you get into this, I got to ask you, because our guy called in last night and wanted to know about the Dak running stuff, and he's been texting into the show.
Yeah.
You were like, check back in at 3:40. I'll look and see if you noticed any times that Dak should have taken off and ran.
I tell you what, though, there were a couple times he's not wrong. There were Dak should have taken off and run. You know, I don't know if that's something you want to make a living at, but yeah, the caller asked last night, it's like, well, wait, how many? I saw some times. I forgot the caller's name. I'm sorry. Does he put it on the text?
I got to look back at it.
Yeah, but anyway, there were a couple different times where Dak could have taken off and run instead of throwing the ball or checking it down, maybe using his legs a little more. So, yes, that was actually factual. So I hope that got that answered for him. All right. What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about how about this offensive line first? Can I do that?
Please.
Is that possible to talk about the offensive line?
Yeah, because I wanted to know if you feel like maybe it's time to see Nate Thomas and Charles Adeniji.
My observation, Zach, again, help me out here because you're kind of an offensive line guy too. I kind of felt like that Terrence Steele as a run blocker was good in this. Terrence Steele as a pass blocker, not good.
Agreed.
Okay, that's where I would take that. Guyton, I think Guyton's biggest problem was that one sack. But other than that, I kind of felt like that Guyton wasn't a guy that was a liability in this football game. I just felt like Terrence Steele had more problems than what Tyler Guyton had.
Yeah, in pass protection, I would agree. I thought Guyton was better this week than he was last week.
Yeah. It seemed like to me that he was, there were some times where they didn't help these guys all along. But the one thing that Terrence Steele can do is run block. I don't know how a guy that's kind of really light in the rear can do as well as he does. He's got a good feel for how to work with these tight ends. He has a good feel for how to work with Booker. There were a couple of runs where Terrence Steele, and it made me think, because I made that last night, I tweeted out, I'm like, this is the game that we're going to see Nate Thomas. This is the game that's going to get Terrence Steele kicked to the curb, and Nate Thomas is going to come in. I'd have to say that Steele with the run blocking stuff was where it needed to be. The pass blocking stuff is a problem. It's not.
Now, I did think Booker was really good, especially in the running game. And I thought Brock Hoffman, and it's funny watching Brock Hoffman, man. He's mixing it up after every play. I mean, him and Dexter were going at it. Yeah. I did think, and I wanted to go back and watch some of the snaps. That was something I didn't notice any like hesitation.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
It was Thomas, by the way, who was the caller. Shout out to Thomas.
Yeah,
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for calling in last night.
Almost all of them are better in the run game than the pass game, though.
The thing with Brock Hoffman, the shot, and I believe I'm right about this, the shot that Dak took down the field that got to Turpin, that hole shot thing I was talking about, that was Hoffman got beat, and Dak stood there and threw it. I mean, it was close. I mean, he's going to get hit in the face, and Dak stood there and made that throw. But I thought Hoffman, I didn't think he was terrible in this game.
I thought especially in the run game, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I really didn't. I said this earlier, I'm not really, really sure like with George Pickens with those routes. I'm just going to probably have to say that George Pickens is not a ideal route runner.
I mean, even on the touchdown, it was pathetic how he was sort of coasting into it and then turns, and it's like he's just not taking it seriously.
Well, And I broke that. That was one of the plays. That was one of those plays. I said this in my notes, Dawson. I said Pickens TD. I go, it's almost like Pickens wasn't expecting the ball to come his way.
Like it was a run play. He was going through the motions.
All the action was going to his right.
He might have sold it. That could have been intentional.
Oh, I mean, he could have slow played this thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, that's a damn good route, bro. That's what the hell are you talking about? But all the action was going away from him, and it's like he realized he had a chance for a play, and then that's where he broke away from Wright. He's like, okay, well, wow, maybe they're actually going to – because Dak kind of just – everything is going to his right, and Dak says, no, I'm coming back throwing this ball to the left.
Possibly very clever, but in the context of all his other routes, I don't want to give him too much credit for it.
No, that is a
It's a loaf that turned into a touchdown and a great catch.
Absolutely great catch. Williams fumble. I thought this was really a well-designed play.
Gosh.
And the execution for the most part was really, really good. I thought there were really good blocks at the point of attack. Pickens actually got a block here. Guyton and Smith were also really, really big on this one. Tolbert got just enough of Stevenson, but the problem was he didn't run with him. And Stevenson was able to chase the play. That's just it's a heck of an effort play by Stevenson.
He was an amazing individual
to finish that play off.
And it was lucky. He's going for the punch and he misses, and somehow the ball gets wedged in between his bicep and his forearm and he pulls it out. It was just a bizarre, bizarre deal.
I was praying he was out of bounds. It's like, there's no way. Please be out of bounds. That did not just happen.
It's incredible how everything was going so well. You get the stop. You get back-to-back big runs from Javonte Williams, and then they score. CD gets hurt, and you give the ball away. And then you come all the way back to tie it with the two-point conversion. Yeah. It's like, okay, game back on. And once again, I felt like, all right, the Cowboys are going to go ahead and take care of this game, but they didn't score again.
Yeah. That,
wild.
That real quick, too, that two-point conversion was actually a pretty good play by Tolbert.
Yeah, that was.
Zach and I have talked about that. Because they're doubling Ferguson, and Tolbert does a great job of leaning on McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a guy you needed to go after more than they did.
I don't think they really threw at him at all, Brian.
3 for 3.
I mean, not him and Wright. It's in hindsight, 10
of 11
kicking themselves.
10 of 11 against those two guys, and then they're attacking Stevenson on the other side. I didn't get it myself, but really good job by Tolbert leaning on McLeod to the outside and then breaking inside. Those are the things that Tolbert can do.
He works back to the ball really well.
He does work back to the ball pretty well. The protection on that play was outstanding. right before half, I'm going to talk about real quick. There's the, remember when they didn't have a timeout left? They didn't. They used the timeout early. So now.
And why? Why? Yeah. If you're going to go up there, run the play.
Run the play or punt it.
Don't waste a timeout there. Yep. I didn't love that clock management.
Not at all. Pickens was able to win off the line, and he's got separation down the field. And he, Dak's got some really, he's got a couple of options here. Turpin at midfield or Pickens down the sidelines. And he kind of rolls to his right to buy some time. And those are the Ferguson, but that keeps him in bounds. That was one of those things where, like, if he could have just, maybe if he could have sat in the pocket a little bit longer, he sees Pickens down the sidelines, or he throws the ball, like I say, to Turpin, and they're at midfield, and then you get out of bounds, and you try and kick a field goal there. But him having to move a little bit, that kind of messed him up with that. The Pickens interception, that was totally on him. He tries to run an in-breaking route, and he just, after Prescott broke the pocket to his right, he's open. Prescott puts the ball right where he needs to put it, right on his hands. He just kind of volleyballs it in the air, and that's where Stevenson was waiting. But just a terrible situation at that point of the game for them to have that interception right there. But it was a good adjust. He's coming inside. Dak's like, gets him to work to the outside. Dak, by moving, gets him to go with him to throw him the ball. It just clangs off his hands there. The third and long play was another one that I kind of had a problem with. This was the one where he throws the ball. He just dumps the ball down to Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Was that like third? Was that after the sack?
Yeah, that was after the sack.
Oh, third and 15. You're just going to throw it to the line of scrimmage. Right.
First drive of the half.
That's just a give up play.
The Bears in this play, they blitz the slot, and Dak feels that. If he had time to make this throw, they had another play down the field. They had another route that was open down the field. Tolbert and Flournoy run what we call a switch, and they're both together, and you get Flournoy to the on the he's on the outside, he breaks inside, and then you get Tolbert behind him. So if there's a little bit of some opportunity, if Dak basically tried to get the ball out because he felt the blitz. But if somehow he had a little bit more time, that was going to be a huge play down the sidelines. But there were some times where Dak checked that ball down. I mentioned there were some hole shots they had in this game. He's going to have to be perfect the rest of the way. Unfortunate, it's not a blame. It's not anything. It's he's going to have to play perfect football because they really have no other opportunities with the way that this defense played. The Komet touchdown. I'm not really sure what Wilson. I'm not sure if this is a Wilson problem or a Murray problem. Murray steps up on the run fake by Swift. Wilson's eyes are in the backfield and he just drops wide. Williams is kind of looking at Komet the entire time, and he's never going to have an easier touchdown than that one was. Because I was really confused if was it a Wilson problem or was it a Murray problem there. The Moore touchdowns. This one, I don't know. I asked the question. One side of the defense looks like they're playing man. And Dawson, we talked about this. One side's playing zone. So you got Hooker, Stewart, and Bridges are all settling like they're playing zone. And Hooker then widens when Williams breaks the pocket. And after the snap, Hooker's looking at Sanborn and Wilson like, what happened? You know, what was the problem here? Why did we not pick that guy up behind? You're just not going to get two easier touchdowns than those two right there for and if I could do one more real quick.
You got it.
Okay, the Burton touchdown. Mozzie Smith wasn't on the stat sheet, but honestly, Mozzie Smith almost, this is the handback. This is the
he almost got there.
Mozzie almost blows this thing up because he gets really, really good penetration, but he can't tackle Swift. He's trying to tackle Swift, and Swift just pushes the ball back to Williams. He grabs it, and now you're launched on the play. What happens, though, is that Elam loses track of where Burton is, and who kind of slows plays off the line. We talked about that. Kind of comes off the ball slow. Elam reacts to the run, and now you got Burton behind. But Mozzie Smith almost blew that play up to the point where it might have been a turnover.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't quite make the tackle right there.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Cornerback, just one of the most difficult positions in all of sport with the physical traits that you need, the awareness, the smarts, and the Cowboys really trying to do it with guys that mostly don't even belong on an NFL roster. What the hell, guys? Yeah. Maybe they can get a top five pick as a result as we're trying to find the positives. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us next?
All right, let's do a daily football fix. Free Glizzy's NFL history and some sounds of the day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.